Manuscript Releases, Volume 3, Mr. Number 189. Materials relating to Arthur G. Daniels. We must embrace every opportunity to put forth personal labor. The personal labor must be done, even if there has to be less preaching done. Ministers who opposed Elder A. G. Daniels fought the truth like tigers. After the Robert Hare series of evangelistic meetings of 3 months, nearly all went back. They should have placed Elder Daniels or someone of different ideas and manners to labor by his, Elder Robert Hare's, side, and the great interest then would have amounted to something, that the fruit would remain. The Lord has greatly blessed Brother Daniels in his ministry, and now he would have a change made in his location. There are altogether too many things connected with Melbourne that are no strength to Brother Daniels. There are large business interests, which he is not educated to carry, and which it is not his duty to carry. If he could give himself directly and decidedly to the work of preaching, and have his mind free from such a raft of little matters and difficulties that are constantly arising at Melbourne, it would be a great blessing to him. He needs to go where he can unload, and not be made responsible for matters in business lines that others are appointed to attend to. There are men who can do this work. Elder Daniels needs a change of surroundings, but nothing must be done rashly. Brethren Daniels, Farnsworth, and Starr have done the preaching, and if ever the Lord helped men to preach, he has helped these men. The selection of a president for the conference was by no means a small affair, in consideration of the feeling that existed. The people were divided. Some clung to Elder Tenney and others urged that Elder Curtis be chosen, but we moved guardedly in selecting the man for the place. Few thought that Elder Daniels could be the one for the place of president, but with W. C. White as his counselor he has done well, and we are sure he is the best choice that could be made out of the material from which we had to choose. I told the board plainly that not one of these men was competent for the situation, but we must have a president, and I presented before them the objectionable features in each case. I told them that Elder Daniels was certainly standing in the best condition spiritually of any of them, and would be better fitted for the work than any other man in Australia. You have felt, my brethren, as though Elder Daniels needed to be criticized. True, he has made mistakes, but if he makes his failures his victories, he will lose nothing. Elder Daniels must not be where he will have such local responsibilities that he has all the time to struggle like a drowning man to keep his head above water. Put away your feelings against Elder Daniels right here on the ground. You are to be in unity, not because he is perfect. He makes mistakes. He is making mistakes on this ground. But the Lord's eye is upon him. He is beloved of God. And if you do not cling closely to God, you will make much graver mistakes than he has made. The Lord loves Elder Daniels and he will reprove and instruct you both where you err. Please give Elder S. N. Haskell a hearty invitation to come to New South Wales. He would be just the help needed here now. The school was hindered for 2 years. Another must take your place unless a decided change is made. It was an offense against God for Elder Haskell's wages to be cut down. To do this showed a great lack of discernment. Elder Daniels and his wife, Elder Tenney and his wife, and Sarah Belden took dinner with us today. We talked about the prospect of establishing a school in Australia to train workers for the islands of the sea. In the past, Elder Daniels has had little faith that a school would ever be in successful operation here, but he has been thoroughly converted on this subject. Had it not been for his unbelief and dissatisfaction in regard to the location of the school in Kurrenbong, we would now be 2 years in advance of where we are. In Sydney there are many comprising the number who claim to believe the truth whose judgment is too limited to carry through any large work intelligently in the line you proposed to do in Melbourne. It was a long drive, and when we neared the place we found Elder Daniels out on the street corner looking anxiously for us. We were introduced into a plain, simply furnished, but comfortable home, in accordance with our faith, and were soon seated at the table whereon was a wholesome, well-prepared breakfast, which we all enjoyed very much. In leaving Australia, W. C. White laid off every official duty that he might help me in my book work. Now in regard to the work in America, we have the fullest confidence in Brother G. A. Irwin as the proper man for the place he occupies. We see no reason why he should be exchanged for another man. The reports in regard to Elder Daniels taking his place are without the slightest foundation as far as my knowledge is concerned. The finishing of one duty is to be the preparation for the performance of the next. But you have neglected one duty to grasp another that the Lord has not given you. Thus your spiritual eyesight has been beclouded, as it was beclouded in Australia. Whom would you have selected for president of the General Conference? Will you please name the man? At the time of the last General Conference, the situation was a most trying one, and there needed to be chosen as president a man who was in harmony with the work that God was trying to do through the testimonies. Elder Daniels is a man who has proved the testimonies to be true, and he has proved true to the testimonies. When he has found that he has differed with them, he has been willing to acknowledge his error and come to the light. If all others had done the same, there would be no such state of things as now exists. The Lord has given Elder Daniels reproof when he has erred, and he has shown his determination to stand on the right side of truth and righteousness, and to correct his mistakes.